Welcome to Angels in Medicine, the site that highlights the work of medical humanitarians from around the world. You can read this and other stories at medangel.org. The voices in this episode are provided by Notebook LM, an AI tool that helps bring these stories to life.
Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. Today, we're going to be talking about the United Nations Population Fund.
UNFPA.
UNFPA,
yeah.
Exactly. And we're going to be taking a look at the work that they're doing in Chad. I think this is going to be particularly interesting to you, given, you know, your interest in medical humanitarian work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it really highlights how interconnected these issues are.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about humanitarian aid and the impacts of the climate crisis and women's health all kind of converging in one place.
Yeah. And I think UNFPA is a really interesting organization to focus on because they really are right at that intersection.
Mm-hmm.
So before we dive into the specifics of what's happening in Chad, can you just give us a little bit of background on UNFPA? What is their overall mission? What are they all about?
Sure. So UNFPA, their mission is really to achieve three transformative results. And those are zero unmet need for family planning, zero preventable maternal deaths, and zero gender-based violence and harmful practices.
Wow, that's a pretty ambitious agenda.
It is, but it gets right to the heart of what they do, which is advocating for the health and rights of women and girls around the world, particularly their sexual and reproductive health and rights, which, as you know, is often overlooked, especially in crisis situations.
Okay, so that gives us a good understanding of kind of the big picture of UNFPA's work.
Yeah.
Now let's zoom in on Chad. The article we have really paints a pretty devastating picture. This is a country that's been hit hard by floods displacing thousands of people. And on top of that, they're also dealing with a massive refugee crisis from the ongoing war in Sudan.
Right. It's like a crisis on top of a crisis. And as you can imagine, this has a disproportionate impact on the most vulnerable members of society, particularly women and girls.
Hmm.
You know, when you have this kind of disruption, displacement, lack of access to health care, it just exacerbates existing inequalities.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the article does a really good job of bringing those statistics to life with some personal stories. One that really stood out to me was Gloria Nagitesim. She's a 31-year-old woman who lost everything in the floods and is now living in the Chari Baghirmi camp with her four children.
Yes.
It's just hard to fathom, you know, starting over from scratch like that.
Yeah, and her story is unfortunately not unique. There are so many women and families in similar situations facing these incredible challenges. But in the midst of all this devastation, there are also these glimmers of hope. And the article really highlights the incredible work that UNFPA-supported midwives are doing on the ground.
Yeah. And speaking of those midwives, the article talks about Lucille Denembai. She's working at a UNFPA-supported mobile clinic. And she encountered some truly heart-wrenching situations. One example was a woman who had been infected with HIV by her husband and then lost her home in the floods. I mean, it's just layer upon layer of trauma.
It's a powerful reminder that these crises don't exist in isolation. You know, they intersect and compound in ways that are really hard to grasp. And that's why UNFPA's work is so important, because they're not just addressing the immediate medical needs, but also providing emotional support counseling, really recognizing the trauma that these women have experienced.
And it sounds like they're also really focused on equipping the midwives with the skills and resources they need to handle these complex situations. The article mentions Florence Denemaji, another midwife, who talks about how UNFPA provided training on emergency care and made sure she had the necessary supplies.
Yeah.
That focus on preparedness is really impressive.
Yeah, and that preparedness is absolutely crucial when you're dealing with such a fragile context. You know, childbirth in these settings can be incredibly risky, and UNFPA is working to ensure that women have access to skilled birth attendants, even in the most challenging of circumstances.
Right. And it's not just about childbirth either. I mean, yeah. The article also talks about the challenges that new mothers face. One woman, Chanceline Milamem, she gave birth in the displacement camp and talks about struggling with malnutrition and not being able to produce enough milk for her baby because of food scarcity.
Yeah, Chanceline's story is really heartbreaking, and it points to this broader issue of the ripple effects of these crises.
Yeah.
You know, I don't just impact individuals in the moment, but they can have long-term consequences for the health and development of future generations. And then, you know, you layer on top of that the Sudan refugee crisis. Chad is now hosting over 700,000 refugees.
Wow.
The largest influx in its history. So you can imagine that just further stretches resources and impacts, you know, people who are already incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the article kind of zooms in on a couple of specific locations, the Ajre region and the Farchana camp, where the situation is particularly dire.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struck by the challenges women face just in accessing healthcare. I mean, just getting to a health facility is a huge obstacle in these overcrowded camps.
Oh, absolutely. Transportation is limited. And, you know, for pregnant women especially, that can be incredibly dangerous because it means that many women end up giving birth at home, which, you know, increases the risk of complications that could be prevented with proper medical care.
And the article mentions a midwife, Celeria Date, who works at the Idrate District Hospital. And she's dedicated to helping all women, but especially survivors of sexual violence, which unfortunately is another grim reality in these kinds of situations.
Yeah, you know, it's heartbreaking to think about, but it's so important that there are people like Celeri who are, you know, really committed to providing that care and support. And her story, you know, it highlights the need for more resources, more support. And the article also talks about the need for a hospital and an ambulance in the Farchana camp specifically. A woman named Suat Umar, who's a women's community leader, she really emphasizes that point.
Okay, so we've talked about the challenges, but what is UNFPA actually doing to address these crises? What's their approach? What are they doing on the ground?
Well, they're really taking a multi-pronged approach, focusing on both the immediate needs and also long-term solutions. So they're working to provide essential sexual and reproductive health services, but at the same time, they're also creating safe spaces for women and girls.
Can you give us some specific examples of what that looks like?
Sure. So they're supporting health centers that provide a whole range of services, everything from assisted childbirth and prenatal care to family planning and counseling. So they're really trying to make sure that women have access to the care they need throughout their pregnancy and beyond.
And what about support for survivors of sexual violence?
Yeah.
How are they addressing that specific need?
That's a huge part of their work. They're working to ensure that survivors have access to medical care, psychosocial support, and legal aid. They're also advocating for stronger policies and legal frameworks to prevent and address gender-based violence. So it's really a multifaceted approach.
It sounds like they're doing incredible work.
Yeah.
But I imagine they're also facing significant funding challenges.
Oh, absolutely. The article mentions that UNFPA's humanitarian appeal for Chad was only 40% funded last year in 2024. So that means they're having to make really tough decisions about where to allocate resources, and they're not able to fully meet all of the needs.
So what does that mean in practical terms for the women and girls on the ground? What are the consequences of that funding gap?
Well, it means that essential services are stretched thin. It means there might be shortages of supplies for safe births, for example. It means that there's limited support for survivors of sexual violence. And it means that they're not able to reach as many people as they need to.
That's really tough to hear. So how much funding does UNFPA need to fully address these challenges in Chad?
They're saying they need a $27.8 million for this year, 2025.
Okay.
And, you know, that might sound like a lot of money, but when you think about what that funding could do, I mean, it could provide prenatal care for thousands of women. It could ensure safe deliveries. It could provide critical support to survivors of sexual violence.
Yeah.
So it's really an investment in the health and well-being of these communities.
And it's an investment in the future as well, right? I mean, it's about breaking those cycles of poverty and vulnerability.
Exactly. When you invest in women and girls, you're investing in the future. You're investing in healthier families, stronger communities, and ultimately a more stable and prosperous society.
So tying this back to, you know, our listener who's really interested in medical humanitarian work, what do you think is the key takeaway from this deep dive into UNFPA's work in Chad?
Well, I think it really highlights the crucial role that organizations like UNFPA play in responding to these kinds of crises. You know, they're on the front lines providing essential health care, advocating for women's rights, and working to create a more just and equitable world. And I think it's also a reminder that even in the midst of these really difficult situations, there is hope. There are people who are making a difference, and we can all be part of that solution in some way.
It's that question of sustainability, isn't it? I mean, how do we move beyond just reacting to each crisis as it comes up?
Right, because it feels like these situations are becoming more and more frequent, unfortunately. Yeah, and that's why we need to start thinking about addressing the root causes. You know, the underlying factors that contribute to these crises in the first place.
So what does that look like? I mean, where do we even begin to tackle these really complex, interconnected issues?
Well, it's going to require a really multifaceted approach, right? We need to be addressing climate change. We need to be working towards peaceful resolutions to conflicts. We need to be tackling poverty and inequality. And we need to be empowering communities to build resilience so they're better equipped to handle these kinds of shocks.
I mean, that's a pretty tall order, to be honest.
It is, but I think it's important to remember that every step we take, no matter how small, can make a difference. You know, it's about shifting our mindset from this kind of reactive crisis mode to a more proactive preventative approach.
And I think a lot of what we've talked about today really circles back to those three transformative results that UNFPA is striving for. You know, zero unmet need for family planning, 0 preventable maternal deaths, and 0 gender-based violence. And it seems like achieving those goals would have a ripple effect, you know, leading to greater stability and resilience in communities around the world.
Absolutely. When women and girls have control over their bodies and their lives, it has a transformative impact on their families or communities and ultimately on society as a whole. You know, it breaks cycles of poverty, it empowers future generations, and it creates a more just and equitable world for everyone.
It's a powerful reminder that investing in women and girls isn't just the right thing to do. It's also the smart thing to do. It's about creating a better future for all of us.
Exactly. And I think that's a really important takeaway for our listener, you know, as they continue to explore their interest in medical humanitarian work. It's about understanding that these issues are all interconnected and that investing in women's health and sex is an investment in a better future for everyone.
Well, this has been an incredibly eye-opening deep dive. It's definitely easy to feel overwhelmed by the scale of the challenges that we've talked about.
Yeah.
But it's also inspiring to see the work that UNFPA and other organizations are doing on the ground to make a difference.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember that you don't have to be on the front lines to make a difference. You know, awareness is a powerful tool.
Yeah.
So by learning about these issues, by talking about them, by educating others, you can help to create change.
Absolutely. Every action, no matter how small, contributes to the solution. So as we wrap up today's deep dive, we want to leave you with this question. What will you do with this newfound knowledge? Will you be a bystander, or will you become part of the solution?
The choice is yours. But the world needs more people who care, who are willing to learn to act, and to make a difference.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this journey. We hope that this deep dive has inspired you to learn more, to engage more deeply, and to contribute to a more just and equitable world.
Thank you for listening to Angels in Medicine. Visit medangel.org for even more stories of medical humanitarians.